wish I knew how it would feel to be free. I wish I could break all the chains holding me. I wish I could say all the things that I should say.
You are listening to the Prison Voices Project, a radio storytelling project highlighting the voices of people impacted by the prison system. The Prison Voices Project airs on the second and fourth Thursday of every month from 10 to 11 a.m. on WGXC Hands On Community Radio 90.7 FM. If you are listening to the program and would like to share your story with the prison system, or you have ideas for the program, or you would like to get involved, please write to us at 704 Columbia Street, 2nd floor, Hudson, New York, 12534.
I wish I could give all I'm longing to give. I wish I could live like I'm longing to live. I wish I could do all the things that I can do, though I'm way overdue. I'd be stuck.
Welcome to the Prison Voices Project here on WGXC 90.7 FM. I'm your host, Karanja Keita Carroll. Today's show covers a variety of issues related to mass incarceration, with special emphasis on New York State and the Hudson Valley. Co-producer and a member of the Prison Voices Collective, Alexandra Cox, interviewed Margaret D. Zariga, who is the director of the Family Justice Program at the Vera Institute of Justice, on a new family reentry pilot program through the New York City Housing Authority. We have an excerpt from Counterspin on solitary confinement, along with one prison radio commentary from Mumi Abu-Jamal on solitary confinement, and along with a short commentary on the status of solitary confinement within New York City. In addition, we will include a new feature entitled Abolitionist Reflections. Music from this week's show comes from Yakato, Asha, DeSiriex, and Akon featuring Styles P. Let's get things rolling with Yakato and Good, Better, Best.
A little bird needs help to fly. Mama pushes her out of the nest and says, try. Even though she is afraid, she spreads her wings without looking down. Oh, oh. She hits the ground hard and low. And mama says, welcome to life, darling. Ajay. Why is life this way? Ajay. Life this way. Good, better, best. May I never rest until my good is better. Am my better, best. Good, better, best. May I never rest until my good is better. Am my better, best. Even though she is afraid, you can see that she is brave. Why she struggles to come off the ground. Ooh, ooh. Again and again and again.
And that was Yakuto with Good, Better, Best. Now let's move on to Alexandra Cox's interview with Margaret D. Zariga of the Family Justice Program at the Vera Institute of Justice.
I'm Margaret D. Zariga. I'm the director of the Family Justice Program at the Vera Institute of Justice, a nonprofit based in New York City that does work nationally on criminal justice and juvenile justice issues.
Great. And could you tell us a little bit about the new project that you're working on?
So for the past couple of years, we've been working with the New York City Housing Authority, or NYCHA, on a new family reentry pilot program. So the idea is for people who are incarcerated or have been released from prison, jail, or a juvenile facility in the last 3 years, they can live with their family in NYCHA housing without affecting the family's rent for up to 2 years. And during that time, they are involved in 6 months of case management services. And then at the end of the 2 years, if they want to and the family wants to, the family can apply to have them added onto their lease. And then they become like any other NYCHA family. There's no additional service requirements. So the real benefits of the program, I think, are that people can, you know, move into their family's apartment in NYCHA. Their families aren't at risk of eviction. The rent doesn't change for 2 years. If someone was permanently excluded from NYCHA, that is suspended for those 2 years. So any investigations that may have occurred in the apartment stop. And it's a real great opportunity, I think, for people to come home to their families. You know, we know that so many people contribute to their families in all kinds of ways when they come home from prison and jail. And similarly, the families can provide the support and, you know, emotional support and other things that we know are so important during that reentry period.
So just to clarify, if someone was arrested on NYCHA property and they were living in that apartment at the time of their arrest, does this program allow those individuals who were previously on their family's lease to return to their family's apartment?
Absolutely. So this program is open to people who lived in NYCHA when they were arrested, as well as people who maybe never lived in NYCHA, but now that they're planning their reentry plan, you know, this makes the most sense for them.
So for people who are coming out and they're on parole, what is the difference between the supervision that's provided in this program and parole supervision or post-release supervision?
So for people who are in the program who are on parole, nothing changes about the conditions of their parole supervision, so that stays the same. But it means that for some of those other kinds of services that someone might be interested in around employment support, family counseling, if someone wanted to do parenting programs, the nonprofits that are participating in the NYCHA pilot can help connect people to those kinds of services.
Great. And I think some of the listeners might wonder, is there any drug testing involved or any other kind of activity that might be involved in monitoring the behavior of people who are in the program?
The program does not do any drug testing. If somebody is on parole supervision, certainly, you know, that might be part of their conditions, but there's nothing specific to the program.
And I guess the biggest question is, if I'm coming out, how do I get connected to the program?
Great question. So if you want more information about the program, there's a couple of ways you can access it. One is NYCHA has set up a phone number just for this program. That phone number is 212-306-6024. That's 212-306-6024. There's a web page on NYCHA's website. If you just look for the NYCHA Reentry Program, or maybe your family member could check that out for you. So those are the two best ways to get started. And more parole officers are also knowing about the program, so they may also have information.
Okay, that's great. Is there anything that you want to add that you feel like I haven't asked you about?
Well, I think what's exciting about this program is it's a real way that NYCHA is recognizing that, you know, people want to return home to their families after a period of incarceration. The people in our program are huge contributors in their household. Many of them are also contributing great things in their communities. And this is a real sort of second chance, you know, for people to come into NYCHA housing and either, you know, move back in with their families if they were there prior to incarceration, or to get some sort of, you know, fresh start and move into NYCHA with some family who maybe they hadn't lived with before. So we hope that people, you know, learn more about it, apply if they're interested, and hopefully we can help connect more people with their families in housing.
Locked up, they won't let me out. And I had a long day in court, stress me out. Won't give me a bail, it can't get me out. Now I'm headed to the county, gotta do a bid here. I'm used to living luxurious, I don't wanna live here. The walls is gray, the clothes is orange. The phones is broke, the food is garbage. A lot of niggas is living with these circumstances. SP's the same, I still murk your manses. Drug money, the rap money, work advances. Ran and told I should have murked the Kansas. Got popped for a murder attempt. Knocked me on D block when I was burning the hemp. Had a brick in the stash, hope they don't take it to a further extent. Locked up and they won't let me out. When I hit my cell block, know the threat be out.
I'm steady trying to find the motive. Why do what I do? Freedom ain't getting no closer. No matter how far I go, my car is stolen. No registration, cops patrolling, and now they done stop me and I get locked up.
They won't let me out, they won't let me out.
On fire, undercovers dressed as fiends, making so much money, products moving fast, put away the stash, and as I sold the last pack, down and got locked up.
They won't let me out, they won't let me out.
Now that I'm locked up, I rep two sets, so I'ma ride and die and stay deep locked up. Two toothbrushes up, whoever wanted would pee. When I walk by, get up, cause I'm locked up, they can't get me out. I smoke a stick of when they stress me out. Go and hit the bar when the wrecks be out. Can't wait for the day when they let me out.
Visitation no longer comes by. Seems like they forgot about me. Commissary is getting empty. Cellmates eating food without me. Can't wait to get out and move forward with my life. Got a family that loves me and wants me to do right. But still I'm here locked up.
They won't let me out. They won't let me out.
And that was Akon featuring Styles P and their track Locked Up. We will now share an interview from Counterspin on solitary confinement.
Accused of stealing a backpack at age 16, Khalif Browder spent 3 years at Rikers Island without trial. When Browder committed suicide on June 6th, some of those close to him cited not just his incarceration, but the time he spent locked alone in a cell for 23 hours a day. Think also of Albert Woodfox, the last of the so-called Angola Three, in prison for the alleged murder of a prison guard in 1972. He was ordered released last week with a judge's opinion that justified his unconditional release in part due to the prejudice done by spending over 40 years in solitary confinement. Was viewed by some as a reasonable tactic and by others as torture. But a new study suggests that Americans' comfort level with the practice has to do with certain ideas about solitary confinement or isolation, restricted housing, protective custody, or whatever else it might be called, that, while pervasive, are not true. The Vera Institute of Justice released the report last month, Solitary Confinement: Common Misconceptions and Emerging Safe Alternatives. We're joined now by study co-author Jessa Wilcox. She's a senior program associate for Vera's Center on Sentencing and Corrections. Welcome to Counterspin, Jessa Wilcox.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, ideas about incarceration don't just exist benignly inside people's heads. They influence policy and law and the social understanding of what's acceptable. So what happens inside prisons also is very opaque to outsiders, and it matters very much what people believe about solitary confinement, about its purpose and about its effects. So what then are some of the misconceptions that you talk about in this new report?
Some of the things we talk about, often a widely held belief that segregated housing, restrictive housing, is just for the worst of the worst, incarcerated people who have committed extremely heinous acts within prison. But in fact, from Vera's research, we find that's often not the case. Often individuals end up in disciplinary segregation just for behavior that's typically referred to as disruptive, for something as simple as just not obeying an order. From some of the work that we've done in Illinois and Pennsylvania, about 85% of inmates who are exiting disciplinary segregation were in for that reason, those kind of low-level rule violations.
Well, and I think we also think that what that means is it's a temporary thing, and it really is for the protection of other prisoners.
That's not the case. We found in our research that even if an inmate is first put into segregated housing for a disciplinary reason, oftentimes they can then just be reclassified, and after their time is up and put into kind of a longer-term administrative segregation. And from some of the work that Vera's done, people can be in that type of segregation for months, even years.
So it's not necessarily a short period of time, and it's not necessarily always considered for a reason. It might be just kind of a paperwork thing.
That's correct.
Well, what about the idea that the conditions in so-called segregated housing, I think we all kind of have images, we see them on television. I don't think there's any way to really understand outside of that experience what it's really like. But what do you know from those who've been there?
Typically, an individual is alone in a cell between 22 and 24 hours a day. The cell is typically the size of a parking space with just a sink, a toilet, and a place to sleep in there. Human interaction is extremely limited. There's little constructive activity that goes on. And that's kind of the typical use of segregated housing. You know, there's ample evidence that shows the physical and mental impacts of being held in segregated housing. Some of the impacts include severe and chronic depression, problems sleeping, self-mutilation, increased anxiety and nervousness. There's a host of things.
Well, for many people, I think they think, well, of course it's bad. It's supposed to be bad, you know. But when you ask people further about the purposes of incarceration, they talk about people not committing crimes again. So if we move on to the idea of reintroduction into community, there are issues there with people who've been in solitary as well.
Yeah, there has not been a lot of studies out there on this. Information coming from states just reporting does seem like it's a higher recidivism rate for those who were being held in segregated housing versus those who were held in the general population. And one thing, you know, part of being incarcerated, hopefully, is that there's programming and there's reentry planning, all things that can ease someone's way back into the community. Often when you're in segregated housing, you do not have any of that. You don't have the programming. You don't have the reentry planning.
So all of these purposes in terms of rehabilitation or just helping people, you know, reintegrate themselves into community are missing, therefore.
That's correct. And I just wanted to point out briefly, you know, part of the paper we released was about common misconceptions and misguided justifications, but we also did really want to highlight some of the emerging alternatives that corrections officials are doing throughout
right.
the country.
Right.
And just in terms of reentry, I know in New Mexico, there's a reentry and release program for those inmates who are within 180 days of release who are in segregated housing, and they start having programming for them, letting them have more socialization, helping with reentry planning. So we are seeing some of those alternatives coming up.
Well, and that's very important to emphasize the recommendations that come out of this. I in terms of objections or questions, I just wanted to ask you, for many, many people, it's a question of humanity and the purposes of incarceration. But for many other people, it's a question of money. And so for that audience, you know, just to say it, solitary confinement is not an economic measure. That it doesn't necessarily save money, does it?
That's correct. Some of the reasons is that often the inmates are single-celled. There's more corrections staff. There's a report that came out in 2013 looking at the amount of money that the Federal Bureau of Prisons spends. I think on their supermax, it was about $216 per inmate versus an inmate in the general population, which was about $85. So it was much more expensive to house an inmate in a supermax facility.
Well, and then again, bringing you back to the recidivism, of course, if they're going back into prison and there are higher rates of that, then also, if expense is your concern, it comes back to that. Well, let me just ask you finally. I mean, we have seen some measures in recent years. We've seen solitary confinement restricted for those with mental illness. We've seen it restricted for teenagers. And I think that that's positive, but I wonder, does that mean that we're kind of saying there's going to be a population for whom solitary confinement will be A-OK? You know, I mean, I what would you like folks to consider about the practice itself?
What our position is that corrections officials, you know, their number one priority is safety, keeping the people who work inside the prison safe and keeping the people who are incarcerated in the prison safe. And so when it comes to segregated housing, there are some safe alternatives out there. And so I think we are just trying to get the word out, and we are working with 5 jurisdictions right now about safe alternatives that you can, you know, keep safety as your most important goal while also reducing the use of restrictive housing.
All right, then. We've been speaking with Jessa Wilcox from the Vera Institute for Justice. You can find their work online at vera.org. Jessa Wilcox, thank you very much for joining us today on Counterspin.
Thank you so much for having me.
The longer on death row, Mumia Abu-Jamal has been in solitary confinement since 2012 and shared this commentary on solitary confinement, originally featured on Prison Radio on October 20, 2012.
The other side of solitary. It was one of those days of rarity. A group of legislators held a public hearing on, of all things, solitary confinement in, of all places, Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, the state, indeed, the jurisdiction with the highest number of juveniles imprisoned for life than any other state in the United States and any other jurisdiction on earth. The state with thousands of people locked down in solitary confinement for years, for decades, for lifetimes. One such man is Russell Maroon Schultz, a man nearing his 72nd birthday, and who is also nearing almost 30 years in solitary, in the hole. His daughter, Teresa, a stalwart fighter for her father, has, with the rest of the family, fought for years for Maroon's release from such draconian conditions. When Teresa began her testimony, She broke the quiet, calm decorum in a way no one could have foreseen. She described growing up with her father, living in daily torturous conditions. Then she pulled a 5-gallon bag of prescription pills from her purse and cast it on the table. She told the lawmakers that if they wanted to see the effects of her battle for her father, they needed to look no farther than her remarkable bag of medications, all of which she needed to treat and manage her stress-related illnesses. Those present at the hearing said Teresa's presentation stunned people. Despite such a powerful human demonstration of the impact of state torture on loved ones, politicians alone are incapable of bringing change. There must be mass movements devoted to bringing an end to solitary confinement. From Imprisoned Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
Greetings, this is the Prison Voices Project on WGXC 90.7 FM, and I'm your host, Karanja K. Takaro. We have just listened to two pieces dealing with national issues surrounding solitary confinement. Here in New York State, close to 4,000 men, women, and children are held in solitary confinement. In the Hudson Valley, close to 800 men, women, and children are held in solitary confinement, with Green and Fishkill facilities confining more than half of the previously mentioned 800. On the April 25th show of On the Count on WBAI New York, host Andre Imani Ward interviewed New York State Senator Bill Perkins about legislation in this session on the issue of solitary confinement. Here's an excerpt from that interview.
Major things that we have found now in this being discussed is around solitary confinement. And we realize that there's a fundamental need for change around solitary confinement, its practices, and the policies that are surrounding that. Can you give us just talk to us about solitary confinement and the legislation that needs to be changed?
Sure. As well as I'll share with your listening audience some actions that are being taken that they would be welcomed and needed to participate in. But clearly, solitary confinement is an inhumane practice that is excessively being taken place in our prisons in New York State, and I would dare say in other parts of this country as well. And so there is a movement. There is a movement to reform and end solitary confinement. And this particular week, there will be a press conference to announce the introduction of new legislation that will challenge the use of solitary confinement. I'm honored to be associated in this regard with Assemblyman Aubrey, who is sponsoring the legislation on the Assembly side, and I will be sponsoring the legislation on the Senate side. And this Friday, January 31st at 10:30 a.m., we will be at the Judson Memorial Church at 55 Washington Square South. That's this Friday, January 31st, 10:30 a.m. at the Judson Memorial Church, 55 Washington Square South, where we will be introducing in a public way the new legislation that will be challenging the use of solitary confinement. And there is a great need for reform, no question about it. There is a pressing need for fundamental legislative reform of solitary confinement right now. There are far too many people in solitary, thousands and thousands, larger in some respects than some of the cities in which many people in this country live. Disproportionately, these are people of color and particularly vulnerable groups like the young, the elderly, people with disabilities or mental health needs, pregnant women, LGBT members, who are in solitary confinement for far too long, months and years, to say the least, and in conditions that are inhumane and counterproductive. So this legislation attacks these aspects of the solitary confinement, and what the reform that is needed is to create alternatives to solitary confinement that are safer. There's a lot of unsafe activity taking place. It's more effective and more humane in terms of the behaviors that should not be depriving and isolating individuals, but rather to provide additional support programs and treatment to address this underlying needs and causes of such bad behavior. We need to end the long-term solitary confinement. Years and years and years of solitary confinement obviously has a debilitating spiritual, moral, and mental impact on the individuals that goes far beyond what should be done. In fact, we could almost call it, we can damn near call it torture.
Mm-hmm.
And then we want to restrict the criteria that are used for solitary confinement. Right now, the criteria are too loose and too inclusive, and we need to make sure that it's criteria that makes sense, that is truly useful as simply just as a punishment or a torture. And then, of course, that process of making those determinations has to be obviously more transparent, more fairer, and with greater accountability, so that those who, instances when it's done unjustly can be acknowledged, prevented, and corrected. And so these are some of the aspects of the legislation that we will be announcing this Friday, January 31st, at the Justin Memorial Church, 10:30 a.m. And we hope that your listening audience, as they have in the past, will join us, if not and on this occasion, but on other occasions in this movement, to bring about this legislation and a reform, a significant reform, and hopefully an end to some extent of the solitary confinement as we know it today. So we need you. We need your listening audience to join a campaign for alternatives to isolated confinement. It's a movement that, again, we believe will make a big difference, not only in engaging the community at large, but also in having this legislation passed, hopefully this session, when we return back up to Albany.
Well, there, Senator, will there be any, like, future workshops and trainings that will
Excellent
be-
question. We are building a movement, and so this legislation will be coming to your neighborhood, so to speak, in terms of workshops and other types of locally based activities that we believe will help you to inform the community of what the details of the legislation are, but even more importantly, to get some input in terms of what the legislation is about, if necessary, what might be a better idea, if that should be the case, and even more importantly, for this legislation to be part of a reform movement that the community, your listening audience especially, will be able to participate in, to take ownership of, and be a part of the victory when it's passed.
And so that also implies that formerly incarcerated persons and their family members, advocates, and organizations will all be involved in this movement.
Formerly incarcerated will obviously, and as well as advocates and all those folks who have a sense of decency and interest in justice and fairness in terms of our prison system, we would hope would want to join us, not simply on Friday, January 31st, but even more importantly, after Friday. The 31st is sort of the birth of the movement, so to speak, of the legislation in the public sense. But in fact, this is going to require anyone and everyone that is interested in change to join us and help us create the kind of change that we believe is important for everyone.
Senator, obviously, this is a we're starting out as a local movement, but obviously the we want to eventually have this as a national movement. Yes?
Yes, of course. You know, this is the New York State version of a national movement that we hope we can make a contribution to by making sure that this legislation is passed. And this may just, in terms of New York State, be the first giant step towards reform and justice in general. So We would like New York to be in leadership, so to speak, and by making sure that this is passed, and as far as the national movement is concerned. And we believe that your listening audience plays a very, very important part in that regard. And we really need them to reach out to my office, area code 212-222-7315. Ask for Taj Berrien, and he will inform you of the details, not simply of the press conference that's coming up, but more importantly of steps thereafter.
State, the New York Campaign for Alternatives to Isolated Confinement brings together advocates, formerly incarcerated persons, family members of currently incarcerated people, concerned community members, lawyers, and individuals in the human rights, health, and faith communities throughout New York State. Here are a few facts compiled by New York Campaign for Alternatives to Isolated Confinement. People in isolated confinement in New York State spend 22 to 24 hours a day locked in a cell the size of an elevator, alone or with one person. They may be permitted 1 hour to exercise alone in a cage. They do not receive any meaningful programs or therapy and cannot even make phone calls. The sensory deprivation, lack of normal human interaction, and extreme idleness can lead to intense suffering and severe psychological damage. Isolated confinement fails to address the underlying causes of problematic behavior and often exacerbates that behavior as people deteriorate psychologically, physically, and socially. Most people sent to isolation in New York State prisons spend months or years there. Some individuals have been in solitary confinement in New York's prisons for more than 2 decades. The UN Special Rapporteur on Torture has denounced solitary confinement exceeding 15 days. New York currently places no limit on the time in isolated confinement. On any given day, about 4,000 men, women, and children are in isolated confinement in New York State prisons. Thousands of others are in solitary in local city and county jails. Black people represent about 18% of all people in New York State, but represent 50% of those incarcerated in New York State, and 60% of people held in solitary confinement. 5 out of 6 sentences that result in isolated confinement in New York State are for nonviolent conduct. Children, or people with mental illnesses, are disproportionately likely to be put into isolation. Pregnant women, elderly people, and people with severe physical disabilities are held in isolation in New York State. Members of the LGBTI community have also suffered additional staff abuse by being placed in solitary confinement. For more information about New York, the New York Campaign for Alternatives to Isolated Confinement, visit them at www.nycaic.org or email them at caicny@gmail.com. And now we will play a song that is becoming a Prison Voices Project favorite, Jailer by Asha.
No, 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 no. Oh, yeah. I'm in chains, you're in chains too. Our uniforms and you are uniforms too. I'm a prisoner, you're a prisoner too, Mr. Jailer. Oh, I have fears, you have fears too. I'll die, but you self will die too. Life is beautiful. Jailer, I'm talking to you, jailer. Stop calling me a prisoner. Let him eat 3,000 be the first to cast the stone, Mr. Jailer. Mr. Jailer, man, you suppress all my strategies. You oppress. Every part of me, what you don't know, you're a victim to Mr. Jailer. Oh, you don't care about my point of view. If I die, another will work for you. So you treat me like a modern slave, Mr. Jailer.
This is the Prison Voices Project on 90.7 FM, and I'm your host, Karanja Keita Carroll. As stated at the top of our show, we wanted to introduce a new section entitled Abolitionist Reflections. Most contemporary discussions of mass incarceration engage it as an issue of too many men, women, and children being incarcerated or under one form or another of control and or monitoring by the state. Abolitionism takes the position that the goal of real reform will come with the elimination of imprisonment, policing, and surveillance, and creating lasting alternatives to punishment and imprisonment. As a political position, abolitionism is critical of all contemporary forms of imprisonment within our current world. some of the members of the Prison Voices Project Collective are indeed abolitionists. In future Abolitionist Reflections, we'll engage the history of prison abolition, the pros and cons of abolitionism, and why prison abolition is a realistic alternative to punishment and imprisonment. And now for our final track for this morning's show, Jusiri X and the New Nat Turners.
You be scared, I ain't scared. I ain't scared. White folks love you when you're scared. There's only two kind of black people in America today. You either running free or you running scared. How you running?
I'm tired of black murders. They the new slaves, we the new Nat Turners. No bodyguards, no entourage. We them sin kidding niggas taking the Amistad bomb a clock. We need to fast like Ramadan. The industry's a bunch of fake heroes like Comic-Con. Behind that mask, you Robert Downey Jr. My Shiro's got a 2 million bounty on the future. Matulu's locked in San Bernardino County as a shooter. You some go along, get along, how we all looted. I snip up for the moment for my troop scars. You gon' need a snip up for the future. Don't let these new Steven Adkins recruit ya. Cause when Miss Short Candy gets tired, he gon' mute ya. And I ain't Django either. I ain't waiting for no white man to come and give me my freedom. I won't join them out. Beat them, leave them rotten in the hot sun. Rock them with the shotgun. Shot out, I'm the top one. Tell the coroner to box them. Eulogize, then drop them. If the choice is freedom or death, then what's the option? Oh, y'all them RG3s again. He's smiling at the camera. Them happy that y'all can please again. I'm Barack Bafan's worth as a Marine. In the deep like the mind of Farrakhan. I'm on my fucking knees. That's what I never believed again. Oh, you got the Instagrams. How come we never see pictures? Then claim God but never read scriptures. So we worship fame because a celebrity's richer. So Jesus becomes Jesus. Then I guess Kim Kardashian is Mary Magdalene. And all her sins are cleansed through the camera lens. But then again, maybe I'm just rambling. Line up these industry CEOs and let me battle them. Show Jimmy Iovine the crime scene with his headless brethren and tell him sign these. And when I hear sirens, disconnect his neck from his spine clean. The difference my spitting is the equivalent of using your high themes. All I want is you and your mind free. The time needs way more than a nice beat and a rhyme scheme. Cause all that show up that y'all talking don't fertilize seeds. I heard it takes two chains to make a slave. One on your physical frame and one on your brain. And once they got your mental enslaved, it runs like a train. So what are you really saying when you claim you stuck in the game? See, they create corporations cause they never wanted fame. So the nigga that you see is the nigga that's underpaid. I'm just another slave. I'm John Jacques Dessalines. I swing him up with a blade. X.
And that was Jusiri X and the New Nat Turners. You are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM. And this is the Prison Voices Project with your host, Karanja Keita Carroll. As we bring today's show to a close, we would like to send a special thanks to Alexandra Cox and Allison McKim for contributing portions to this morning's show. We look forward to you tuning in to our next show on July 9th. Have a good day.
You have been listening to the Prison Voices Project, a radio storytelling project highlighting the voices of people impacted by the prison system. The Prison Voices Project airs on the second and fourth Thursday of every month from 10 to 11 a.m. on WGXC Hands-On Community Radio, 90.7 FM in Greene and Columbia Counties. If you are listening to the program and would like to share your story, or you have ideas for the program, please write to us at 704 Columbia Street, 2nd floor, Hudson, New York, 12534. If you have feedback about what you have just heard, you can email us at feedback@wgxc.org. Thanks for listening.
I wish I knew how it would feel to be free. I wish I could break all the chains holding me. I wish wish I could say all the things that I should say. Say them loud, say them clear, for the whole round world to hear. I wish I could share all the love that's in my heart. Remove all the bars that keep us apart. I wish you could know what it means to be me. Then you'd see and agree that every man should be free. I wish I could give all I'm longing to give. I wish I could live like I'm longing to live. I wish I could do all the things that I can do, though I'm way overdue. I'd be starting anew.